Anyone who's even casually picked up an automotive magazine lately knows that the world's vehicle makers are restructuring to prepare for more electric and hybrid models. GM affirmed its place in the game this week, announcing it will aspire to sell only electric vehicles by 2040. Now, you notice that word, aspire. Leaves a lot of wiggle room, doesn't it? And yet, it's not nothing coming from the biggest U.S. automaker. We've invited a couple of friends to talk about this and related developments. Aaron Marquis is the managing editor for Jalopnik, and Daniel House is a senior editor and columnist for the Detroit News.
Both of you, welcome back to Stateside.
Good to be here.
So, Dan, what's in it for GM to be the first major U.S. automaker to make a pledge like this?
Well, initially, I think you've got to say the communications aspect in a new administration is about as good as you can get. And I think that is driving a little bit of the skepticism about why now. I mean, this is a company that just a few weeks ago was part of a Trump administration lawsuit challenging California's right to set its own emissions standards. They dropped that, got out of that lawsuit, angered rival automakers who were also on the same side of the argument as they were. And then within a few weeks, they take this pledge. It looks a little opportunistic. All that being said, it is a major, major move, and it indicates the direction that at least one company thinks this industry is headed. And I think they're responding to not only a new administration in Washington, but regulatory moves in key markets like China and the European Union.
Still, it's not as if General Motors thought this up last night. Aaron, do you see any dissonance between the announcement and the way GM's been talking for the past 4 years?
I actually think Mary Barra made a lot of smart moves under Trump. There was never keeping him completely happy, but she angled GM to really start working on an EV future while keeping up a communications position that they were really staying on the side of the current administration. So it's not that big of a surprise. GM has been talking about significant electrification since 2019, really. And yeah, major markets are, I'm looking at a list of over 31 countries and states right now who have made a pledge to ban ICE vehicles by 2040. It's actually kind of surprising to me that GM is the one to make this move. Toyota and Nissan, both of whom are on that side of suing the federal government for the CARB standards, they started off the electrification revolution, and they've fallen so far behind that now Nissan is saying they don't expect significant electrification until 2040 or 2050. So GM is a huge company. They usually make slow changes. They usually have to like really be harangued into it. So for them to be looking forward like this, this is not something that came out of the blue. And it's really kind of an impressive move for the company.
I agree with that. I don't think it is something that necessarily came out of the blue. I think it was, to your point, a part of an iteration. But the GM that you described, I think accurately, is not the GM of today. One of the analysts that we quoted in our story this morning says GM is going to where the puck is going to be, not where the puck is. And I think that's, you know, obviously hockey metaphor, but I think it's apt here. They are making a big move here. They are using words like aspire, pledge. There's no guarantee that they're not going to be selling ICEs after 2035, at least at now. One of the things that's important here is the positioning of the company. If you go back and look at the performance of General Motors stock since it emerged from bankruptcy and did its IPO, it traded in a very narrow range in the mid-30s for a very, very, very long time. And it's only been in the last probably 6 months. It's actually only been in the last few weeks that it broke $50 a share. And I think that's in part because in the investment community, which is very enamored of electric vehicles, particularly because of Tesla, is looking to see, are these companies, are these legacy manufacturers for real? Can they really do this? Can they really pivot to electrification? And I think the story for GM is increasingly the answer is yes, that the investment community does believe that they can do this. Now, the path is not so easy, and we can talk about kind of the pitfalls that lay ahead. But I do think that this is for real, and it is part of a broader strategy.
Aaron, part of this announcement was GM saying that there will be $27 billion spent on the electric transition, they think, within the next 5 years. Do you have an inkling of how much of that money gets spent in Michigan?
I hope plenty, as somebody from Michigan, and who lives here, but, yeah, who can really say where they're going to park that money? They say often that they're very, you know, they're very devoted to keeping jobs in America and in Michigan. But it is really hard to say. Right now, GM sells, you know, 2.5 million vehicles last year, and only 20,000 of them are EVs. So it's kind of an open question.
I would say a fair amount. I mean, Detroit Hamtramck plan is being totally retooled into, you know, what are they calling it? Factory Zero, which is going to be essentially the only real pure electric plant they have. Lake Orion is already building the Bolt. And then you have a Canadian plant that just been designated. The CAMI plant has been designated as a EV plant, a partial EV plant. But over time, they expect the mix to change in a place like Spring Hill, which is huge, and that they will be building more EVs and fewer ICEs. But a lot of the intellectual work that's done on this is all done right here in metropolitan Detroit, in the Warren Tech Center and affiliated areas. I think Michigan is probably pretty well positioned. At one point, I was curious as to whether or not GM was going to essentially designate Michigan as its EV, you know, center. They've decided, obviously, not to do that. They're spreading their bets in terms of production. Mm-hmm. But I would say we're probably pretty well positioned for it.
I remember when hybrid engines first started becoming a thing, I had a lot of trouble sort of figuring myself out as a consumer, you know, what my piece of this was. And oh my God, am I still going to be able to fill up my Saturn? That feels like that ages me as the dinosaur that I am. But I do wonder if you do have thoughts on just, I mean, there are markets and then there are markets. When we think about, you know, the average consumer who's maybe driving, you know, an internal combustion engine SUV right now, how long before the offerings that GM and the other automakers are doing are talking about? How long before those become more of what we come to think of as normal?
I was just talking about this with my team because Genesis is announcing some electric vehicles today. And they're always naming these electric vehicles with an E at the end or a plus. And my thinking is, these are normal cars, name them like normal cars, so consumers feel like they're buying normal cars. I think it's going to take like a major culture shift. You know, Americans are also, we still have that range anxiety, which is a little ridiculous. And I think we're seeing more and more often, especially now that we're all in COVID lockdown, how little we're actually driving.
Yeah.
And you're also seeing superchargers and and batteries that are capable of charging just as fast as a car is capable of fueling up. They're not here yet, but they're on the horizon. So I think once you, the best way to cure America's range anxiety is to get that charging infrastructure faster and more complete. That's going to take a lot of investment from both the automakers and from the federal government. I could see EVs becoming, you know, more accepted, you know, maybe in like 10 years. It's hard to say, really. It's going to take a major culture shift, though.
Yeah.
I think it depends. You know, it's that classic case. It depends. I mean, are we talking about pure electrics that have to be charged, or are we talking about hybrid gas electric hybrids? Ford Motor Company puts a lot in betting that there's going to be a suite of technologies. It's going to include the internal combustion engine. It's going to include gas electric hybrids. It's going to include pure electrics. And I was editing the review of our critic, Henry Payne, on the hybrid F-150. And anybody who reads his stuff knows he's a real motorhead, but he understands the industry. And what he says about that vehicle, the hybrid F-150, is that it's a remarkable product. I mean, you get it not only with a gas engine, so you don't have the range anxieties, but you have an onboard generator and you have all sorts of other things that you don't have in a normal pickup truck. So I think we're going to go through a period here where different companies are going to try different things and we're going to see how they take off. I mean, Tesla has been phenomenal, but it's very much a premium product. And, you know, we're going to see here as major manufacturers come online with a lot of their different EV offerings, just how broad the market is. We know that there is a high-end market for these vehicles, but how broad is the market? And I don't think we know that yet.
Daniel Howes is a senior editor and columnist at the Detroit News. And we've also been talking with Aaron Markey, managing editor at Jalopnik. Aaron, Dan, very nice to talk to you.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks very much.